The word for our consideration this morning is the account of the Annunciation. It's found in Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 35. And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her, who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So far our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, breathe your Holy Spirit. Send your word to us that we might know its life-giving power. Today, as we consider how our Savior was sent to this world to save us, increase our faith that we might trust in your word as Mary once did. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Fellow Redeemed, this past week, I've had an awful hard time studying. And maybe some of you have felt that too. The weather outside is just amazing, and it's tempting for us to toss the books aside and to head outdoors. And I don't blame you. With weather like this, sometimes it brings to my mind the account from Genesis when God looked out over the garden and he called it very good. God never intended the stuff of his beautiful creation to be for graves, to be hollowed out for tombs. God brought forth the trees, the flowers, the birds, every beast of the field, the creatures of the sea, by his divine authority, through his powerful word. And then he breathed into some of the lifeless clay his own spirit to give Adam life. And together they looked out upon the garden. Together they looked out upon a deathless world of wonder. It fell to Moses and St. Paul to write by inspiration the sad account of Adam, that by his disobedience he set up his own spirit to displace the Spirit of God. And he put that idolatrous spirit of sinfulness essentially into the clay, into all his descendants, and they were walking tombs, digging graves. The whole creation groans beneath Adam's sin and ours, tortured by the cuts of a countless billion graves. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Could it be any different, though? Where the beaming of God's bright countenance once brought forth life, where he looked upon his pride and joy with a smile, now there was only that glare of his perfect justice, beating down, searching out every dark corner in mankind. Surely God will not dwell with the wicked, the psalmist says. The source of life will not live forever with Adam's death. Justice must be done. An eye for an eye. Death demands death. This is certainly true. And oh, how the serpent likes to hiss out these words. He thinks that by this principle he will succeed in his fondest wish, and that is to confound God himself with his own word. Knock him down a peg so that the serpent might climb up and be like him, choosing for himself what is good and evil, choosing his own path. And that brings us to this celebration of the Annunciation 9 months before Christmas. But Mary, God's messenger, announced, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you." God returns to that twice lifeless clay. He breathes his spirit again to spread above Mary and the rest of us, to shade us with mercy from the burning justice of God. It is true that the source of life will not live forever with Adam's death, but this is not what the serpent had in mind. He had brought down the first mother of us all and all her children with her. But God promised, even back then, that that by the seed of that woman, the head of the serpent would be crushed. And through all his hissing and his venomous lies and gloating over the fall of mankind and the ruining of the creation, the serpent could not see. He refused to believe that God would never falter in his perfect justice and never waver from his promise to save mankind. This child promised to Mary is that Holy One who would soon crush the serpent's head, the very one who would fulfill God's justice. Every law, every commandment, every ceremony, the one lifted up on the tree, all filled with mankind's sins. The bronze serpent for the serpent, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, to die the death required in our place for us. God's justice and his gracious love for us there on the cross. God did so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Dear Christians, think about this for a moment. Our place in this universe is a strange one. We hear the Lord speaking to us. We see his infinite wisdom. We stand right there with Mary before the announcement, before the angel, humble servants, like little children, knowing nothing but our own weakness and the certainty of God's promise. Full of fears, yet trusting in God our Savior. May it be to us as he has said. And yet also, think of this. At the same time, we stand in Christ and he in us, our infinite God, the Incarnate One, crucified and died for us and alive for us. We stand forgiven, beloved, baptized children of the Heavenly Father. And even now as we walk on the clay of this earth from whence we came, we are immortal princes and heirs of heaven and all things, filled with such sublime knowledge by the Spirit through his word, that by faith we need never doubt, we need never fear. We see that Christ has prepared heaven for us. We're privileged to receive this foretaste of that blessed place and to hear this surpassing wisdom of God, even his Spirit, who breathed this very word of God that we now hear. And we're privileged to have these words of eternal life to share freely. Yes, all creation groans with expectation that soon the lifeless tombs and graves will burst forth in new life as the first fruits of Christ's labor are revealed and all the wounds of sin are finally and forever healed. Ponder these things as you watch this beautiful spring unfold and the lifeless ground spring to life. Ponder this announcement to Mary. Ponder the Son of God and Mary's Son as she pondered all that was said about him and listened to him and rejoiced in God, her Savior and ours. Amen. Let's rise for prayer. This morning, let us turn to page 153 in the front part of the hymnary and join in the prayer numbered 49, prayer for the Annunciation. We beseech you, O Lord, pour forth your grace into our hearts, that as we have known the incarnation of your Son, Jesus Christ, by the message of the angel, so by his cross and passion, we may be brought into the glory of his resurrection through the same Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.